All right, Shabbos, say good morning, good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Stephen Tarizin, for dedicating all the Shulman Drashos this month in memory of Reb Steve's father, Albert Zin Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim Zichron Livracha, on the occasion of his 20th Yahrzeit. Our week of learning sponsors, Killian and Jillian Goldberger, as a schus for a continued Refuah Shlema for their son, Aaron Yeshaya Ben Rivka Esther. And our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, and the schus for continued health for Shulamis Chana Bas Susha. And Meretz Hashem, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Slav and Aliyah, the families in the Chama, all those who need a refuah should happen together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Chosh Baruch Hu, Meretz Hashem, continue to shower brachas and besoros tovos upon Klal Yisrael. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. A very, very, very exciting Gemara ahead of us today. So, a couple of Mishnayos, some really fascinating Karbanic details, life details, hashkafa details, halacha details, anything and everything you could want out of a daf of Gemara Meretz Hashem we have today. So let us begin. Today's daf is Nun Gimel 53. We are picking up at the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis 52b, and the Mishnah says as follows: Chatos Hatzibor VaHayochid. So we'll say, so now we're again, remember we're continuing in Parak Ezu Makoman. So literally again, Chatos offerings, which a general Chatos is a sin offering. So Chatos, ultimately again, individual Chatos offerings and communal Chatos offerings. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah says, Eluhein Chatos Hatzibor. What are some examples of communal Chatos offerings? Sirei Rosh Chodeshim. So these are the goats, right, that are offered up on Rosh Chodesh. V'shalma Ados, as well as the Chatos offerings that are brought on the Yamim Tovim. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Eluhein Chatos Tzibor, Sha'anu Tzrichim Lahaskiram, Shari HaPnimios Par Ha'ido, U'Sirei Avodos Kochavim Kvar Nishnos. So remember again, just to contrast, we've spoken extensively about communal chatos offerings that are chatos pnimi, offered on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's again, our par helam davar min hatzibor, par koin mashiach, si'ir avodah zarah, par of Yom Kippur, si'ir of Yom Kippur. That we've spoken about extensively. Now, we're transitioning over to communal chatos offerings that are offered up on the exterior mizbeach. And what are those? Again, so far we have Sirei Rosh Chodeshim. So again, the Chatos offering that is offered up on Rosh Chodesh, as well as the communal Chatos offerings that are offered up on the Yamim Tovim. Good. So we'll say, so what is the halacha? What is the halacha? So the Gemara says, good. So the halacha is Shchitas Mitzafon, the Kibul Dam Klishar Mitzafon. So here we go. Back to our Beis HaMikdash. Baruch Hashem, it is so good to be back in the Beis HaMikdash. So remember again, we are talking about all of the karbanos over here are offered up on this exterior mizbeach. When we speak about Safon, when we speak about north, this is north. Right now, again, now the truth is, we have to go back. There is a more general discussion about how far north extends. Is this north? Is this north? Or is just this strip over here north? So we're not really delving into that right now all so much. But again, for our purposes, Shchitas Mitzafon, Shchita takes place over here. And the Gemara says, and kibul daman b'klisharis tzafon, and kabbalah in a klisharis is done over here as well. Now, let's remember again, now that statement, kabbalah in a klisharis, is even more meaningful for us, right? Why? Because what doesn't have kabbalah in a klisharis? Oath, right? As we saw yesterday's daf, again, oath does not have kabbalah in a klisharis. Beautiful, good. So we'll say, v'daman ta'un arba matanos al arba kronos. And again, interestingly enough, for what we call a chatos hachitzon, an outer chatos, there is a blood application on the four horns of the mizbeach. What are the four horns of the mizbeach? So again, in this, now remember, this is an aerial image, obviously. And I don't know that you can see the coloration, but if you notice on this image over here, there's one, two, three, four. Four horns. The horns were rectangular protrusions that were at the corners of the mizbeach. If you notice on the WhatsApp, we really need to start doing PowerPoint I need like a big screen, PowerPoint that we can go through slides. All right, we're going to get someone working on that. Who this someone is, I have no idea. We're going to get someone. So let's say, so if you take a look, I actually put this on the WhatsApp chat yesterday. If you take a quick look, I'm actually now sanctioning use of WhatsApp during Shir. You're like, yeah, I've been doing that anyway for the last 5.5 years. Good. Now, actually, and some of you actually were Zaris. You already started already, even before I said anything. So now, if you take a look at the chat yesterday, so I sent you over here. You could see there's two pictures over here. If you even take a look at the second picture, which actually is from the Art Scroll Gemara, from volume one, the intro of the Art Scroll Gemara, this is also an aerial view, but you could see on that image that there are four horns, four protruding corners on the Mizbeach. So therefore, again, back to the Mishnah. That's it. We're going to come back. Keep these images up because we're going to come back to them in just a little bit. Emir Tzashem. Second over here. Okay, so again, here's what we have. So communal chatos, ultimately again, is shechted on the outer mizbeach, and halacha lemaisa, blood applications on the four corners. Now, this is very interesting. Ketzad. So now, again, interestingly enough, how are these applications done? Top of Nun Gimel 53a. Remember, again, these Gemaras are absolutely riveting because right now, essentially, what you can imagine is you're the Kohen, and you're literally, again, walking through the Beis HaMikdash. So here we go. So how are those blood applications done? So Nun Gimel 53a. Allah Bekevesh. So first thing I will say is, remember, let's just take a look at this image first. Kohen is going up the ramp, right? So remember again, Shechita, Kabbalah is done over here. Then Kohen is going ahead and going up the ramp. When he goes up the ramp, Allah Bekevesh, Upanal Ufana L'Sovev. Now, both say, if you go back and you reference the image I just sent you in the WhatsApp chat, right? So go back and take a look at that image for just a moment. I'm sorry, I'm going to get more organized in the presentation over here to keep everything somehow in one place. But if you take a look at the image, take a look at the first image that I sent you. So you'll notice something very interesting, which is on the right of the Mizbeach, there is a side ramp. You can't actually, you can't see it. But just to show you where it would be over here on this image, Cohen would come up the ramp. There'd be a side ramp coming over here. That side ramp would then lead to a ledge. There was a narrow ledge, a one amma ledge around the entire perimeter of the Mizbeach. So if you go back to the WhatsApp image for just a moment, so just imagine for a moment, Cohen is going up the major ramp, then takes a right detour, goes to that smaller ramp, and if you notice, that smaller ramp leads to a small ledge. Now, I will say that ledge was a thin ledge. It was only an amma wide, foot and a half wide, an amma wide, and that small ledge goes around the entire perimeter of the Mizbeach. Okay? So that's, by the way, that's how he's accessing the horns, the chronos. That's how he's putting the blood ultimately again on the horns. Now, I will say, let me just take a step back for just a second because I want to share with you what you're going to begin to notice as we go through this is there's two different ways. Well, there's more than two, but there's a couple of different ways that the Kohen would do blood applications on the Mizbeach. Sometimes the Kohen was just standing on the ground, standing on floor level, and doing blood applications on the side of the Mizbeach, above the red line, below the red line. This is unique because for communal chatas offerings, he was walking up the ledge, taking a detour to the right, on the side ledge, going onto what we call the sovev, side ramp to a small narrow ledge along the perimeter of the Mizbeach, and doing the blood applications on each of the horns like that. Okay, so go back to the Mishnah now. So Allah Bekevesh, Ufana L'Sovev. So he goes up the ramp, and then he turns right onto the side ramp, right? Side ramp, which takes him to the Sovev. The Sovev, Rabbi Osei, is the name of the narrow ledge that goes around the Mizbeach, like Sovev, like Saviv, like around. So that's the name of the narrow ledge that go around the Mizbeach. If you take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here, Rashi says, Allah Bekevesh Ufana L'Sovev, Mipnei Shedama Nitan Lamala Al Akranos Ube Etzba Sarech Lamod Al Gav HaSovev. So we'll say, so remember again, why does he have to do this? So just understand, since the blood application for a communal chatos was on the horns, Right? And again, there was some height to the Mizbeach. We'll talk about the dimensions. He would not be able to essentially reach the horns if he was walking on ground level. So because the blood applications has to be done with his finger, again, this is not the sprinkling, but rather, again, we're going to see he's going to dip his finger, his index finger, his right index finger in the blood, and literally, again, apply it on the horns. He needed to be elevated. So that's why, again, he's walking on this ledge around the Mizbeach. Around the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, right, so back to the Gemara. Sorry, back to Mishnah. Actually, finish that Rashi, sorry. We're going to see, this is as opposed to other blood applications. Because other blood applications, we don't need it on the horn. Other blood applications, what were we looking for? Above the red line, below the red line. So what would he do? He would just stand on ground level and sprinkle. And Rabbi said, there's two things different. Number one, on general blood applications, he's taking it from the kli and sprinkling it. Here we're going to see by the communal chatos, there's an application. He's actually taking it and actually smearing it, applying it on the Mizbeach itself. So again, so far what do we have? Communal chatos offerings offered up on the exterior Mizbeach. He's coming up the primary ramp. He then hangs, again, we're just going from the Kohen's perspective. He hangs right onto a smaller ramp and comes to the sovev, the ledge, which goes around the Mizbeach. Okay, that's where we're up to. Back to, so exciting. Back to Mishnah. Ubalo lekeren deromis mizrachis. Shabbos said, the first corner that he hits is ultimately, again, the southeast corner. So again, just to follow this. Coming up over here, this, I know again, now I can't unsee it since Dr. Gavant mentioned it to me. I was supposed to say, just the orientation. This is south. This is north. I don't want to flip it because the truth is, it's the Hebrew on here is actually written this way. And this is the way I've been studying this image for like three cycles of Daf Yomi. So I'm stuck. I'm sorry. You're stuck. I'm stuck. We're all stuck. But it's okay. We're going to get through this together. So let's say, so remember again, we've got south, north, east, west. So, right? So the Kohen is coming up on the southern side. He comes up over here. He hangs a right. Remember, we're looking from the Kohen's perspective. He hangs a right onto the smaller ramp. The first corner he comes to, southeast. Southeast. That's the southeast ramp. Good. Next. Southeast corner. Next. Mizrachis Tsefonis. Northeast corner. What's the northeast corner of this? So what says, essentially we're going to see, he goes counterclockwise around the Mizbeach. Which, by the way, the easy way to remember this is in the Beis HaMikdash, when in doubt, always go right. Always go right. It's good for life. Clearly New York didn't listen to this. But again, always go right, right? So he's coming up, he hangs right, southeast. We go from southeast then to northeast. Mizrachis Tsefonis. Next, Tsefonis Ma'aravis. Tsefonis Ma'aravis, northwest. What's northwest? That's over here, right? And then lastly, Ma'aravis Deromis, southwest. Southwest, which is going to be over here. So that is the entirety of the blood applications for the, this is for communal chatos. Good, beautiful. We'll say, you have to admit, there's something like ridiculously exciting about actually being able to know how the Kohen did the avodah. A lot of times these sugyas like are so esoteric to us. But now, literally, again, if somebody were to ask me to go into the Beis HaMikdash, halavai we should be zocha, and how does the Kohen, where does the Kohen do? Let's say Kohen doesn't know what to do, mamash, we could show him exactly what to do and how to do it. It's incredible. Shiari hadam, leftover blood, hayashofeh al yisod deromis. Leftover blood, Rabosei, would be poured out at the southern base. Now, this is very important. Rabosei, where is the southern base? Over here. That's the southern base. Now, remember, again, I just want to point out, Up until now, we have, right, when we were speaking about the inner chatos, where does the inner chatos have its blood spilled out? Again, on the western base, which is here. Because remember, again, that's the base that you face right when you come out of the Beis HaMikdash. So we've been speaking about the western base. Now, interestingly enough, the outer chatos has it poured on the southern base, over here. In fact, if you take a look, I think I included this. Did I include this image? Here in the chat, 1 second. Yeah, so you could see, by the way, you could see, if you notice, on the second image that I sent you, the one from Art Scroll. So if you notice on the if you look on the Mizbeach, not on the ramp, but on the bottom left, you'll notice again, there's like a little L protrusion on the bottom over there. That's called the southern base. Right? As opposed to the base on the western side, that's the western base. This is called the southern base. Okay? So therefore, again, interestingly enough, outer chatos, the carbon itself, the shiari hadam, the leftover blood, is poured on the southern base. Incredible. The halach and abose into the carbonos, v'nechon lifnim melakilayim, zichrei kuna, so again, furthermore, consumption, a communal chatos, is eaten inside the curtains. Now, we'll say, now what are the curtains? Again, I will say, so first of all, by the way, why the southern base? Why the southern base? Because remember, again, the halacha is in general, you'll always pour out shirayim by the first base you encounter when you finish the avoda. So think about it like this. When the kohen finishes, right, so he's coming up the primary ramp, hangs the right onto the, we'll call it auxiliary ramp, starts over here counterclockwise, goes around the mizbeach, and then he comes down. When he comes off, the first base that he's encountering is actually the southern base. So that's why, again, that's the general halacha. You always pour out shirayim by the first base you're going to encounter. That's Rashi points that out. Rashi points it out. He goes on, he says, the meat of the communal chatos is eaten inside of the curtains. They both say, what curtains were there in the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, there were no curtains in the Beis HaMikdash. Where does the Lashon of Kilayim come from? That is a Lashon, ultimately, again, from the Mishkan. If you take a quick look at Rashi says, Mishkan hayu kilayim hekef lachatzar oal moed. Remember again, the Mishkan, which had certain permanent walls, but also had curtains, well, not permanent walls, but movable walls, had curtains which demarcated the various areas. So the Lashon ultimately, again, of Lifnei Ma'akalayim is a Lashon borrowed from the Mishkan, which means you have to eat these karbonos within the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, which means essentially anything within these walls. This is called Lifnei Ma'akalayim, which means really they eat the karbonos in this area over here, or in this area over here called Ezra's Kana or Ezra's Yisrael. That's where they would eat it. But when it says inside of the curtains, it means within the walls of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Good. Who eats it? L'zichrei kuna. It's eaten by the male kohanim. Bechol maicho means you could prepare the meat however you want. Why does the Mishnah say this? So Rashi points out, as opposed to Karban Pesach, which has to be roasted, ultimately, again, the meat of a communal chatos can be prepared however you would like it. The Mishnah says, liyom v'layla ad chatzos. What's the window of consumption? One day and one night until midnight. Now again, Rashi points out, interestingly enough, you actually have past midnight. In fact, for Chatos Hatzibor, you actually have until dawn of the next day. But this is actually the first Mishnah Maseches Brachos, where the Mishnah says that any time you have until dawn to do something, what did Chazal do? The rabbis backed it up until midnight. Right? Why? In order to create a protective boundary. So technically speaking, you have until dawn to be able to eat the meat of the communal chatos, but Chazal said, really only do it until midnight. Incredible. Ayat Bosei, what a Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hechi Avid, so says the Mishnah, ultimately, again, it's Bosei. So now, what we're going to be focusing on a lot for the next little bit is the actual blood application itself on the horns. What does it mean? Where exactly on the horns is that done? So, Hechi Avid, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Machlokes, Chad Amar, No Sin Ama Eilich, Va'ama Eilich, V'chad amar mechate v'yored k'neged chudo shel keren. So what's next? Listen to this. An interesting machlokes. Look at Rashi. Ama eilech. Kishu omid eitzel zavis ha-mizbeach nosim besoch. Ama shel mektsua le'izu ruach shiyertza. Oh, l'darom o l'mizrach. So what's next? Listen to this. So the first opinion says like this. When you talk about putting it on the corner, right? So remember again, now that you're saying, where on the corner is that put? So the first opinion says, essentially, as long as you're within one amma of the corner, you're good to go. Right? In other words, it doesn't have to be, when we think about corner, corner literally means like the corner, right? Because remember, again, I will say, the Lashon over here is ultimately balo le keren, in other words, the horn, Karen means the horn. Karen also means a corner. So it's interesting. So it's almost like the visualization of this is that I'm putting it like on actually like the corner of the horn, right? Like the, where the two sides meet. So is that what the halacha is? So the first opinion says, no. It has to be within proximity to what we'll call the corner of the horn. And as long as you're within an amma of the corner, you're good to go. And right, no sin amma me'elech va'amma me'elech. The chadim, the other opinion says, no, mechate v'yorid k'neged chudo shel keren. No, in fact, you mamish applied the blood ultimately where? On the actual corner. On the actual corner itself of the horn. Okay, so machlokes. Salibid Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, da'amar hi atzma inasis ala begufa shel keren. The kuli amvalo pligi. So we'll listen to this. So according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that halacha lamaisa, the blood application itself has to be done on the corner itself. That when we say corner, or I should say horn, has to be done on the horn itself. There's no machlokes. Ki pligi, derebi. Mar savar ama elech va ama elech. So we'll say the machlokes ultimately again is according to Rebbe. Now Rebbe, interestingly enough, we'll say if you look at Rashi, this is in the third line of Rashi. So first of all, before that, we say the kuli ama lo pligi de lo ba inon chuda de karen ksiv va ama el ama berum ama hanasam berosham izbeach bechol zavis vizavis bechol makom sheba kari karen. So we'll say it's according to the first opinion. As long as you're getting it on the horn, it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't have to be exactly on the corner of the horn. Where does the machlokes come up? According to it comes up according to Rebbe. Why Rashi says this is very interesting. Rebbe understands that essentially, when the Torah says you have to place the blood on the horns, it means on the upper part of the mizbeach, which means as long as that blood is going somewhere above the red line, you're good to go. Which is fascinating. So where does that? So according to Rebbe, that's the machlokes. The mar savar ama elech va ama elech kineged kerenu. One opinion says that ultimately, again, you could. It doesn't have to be exactly on the corner, but it has to be within an ama of the corner. Mar savar kineged chude in tfeilo. The other opinion says no. As long as it is somehow corresponding to the horn, even if it's below the horn, as long as it's above the red line. Ultimately, again, it's going to be good. Meisvei, Gemara is the kasha. Chatos hatzibor v'hayochid keitzad matan daman. How do they do the blood applications of the communal individual chatos? Hayaola lekevesh upana lesovis. This is what Mishnah will say. So what would happen? Kohen would go up the primary ramp, and then he would take the auxiliary ramp on his right, go to the narrow ledge, ubalo lekeren deromis mizrachis, and come to the southeast corner. Now listen, now watch this. This is the Braisa. V'tovel etzbo'o hayimanes hamiyumenes shebiyamin min hadam shebemizrach. And what would he do? He would take his right index finger, and he would put it in the blood that was in the bowl, right? This was the blood in which he did Kabbalah with. He would put his blood, hand in the finger in the blood. V'chomer, the Gemara said, V'chomer begudlo milamala ube'etzbo ketan milamata. Now, this is very interesting. So what he would do is he would take the blood with his index finger, and then he wanted to make sure that the blood was on the tip of his finger. So with his pinky and with his thumb, he would push the blood to the top. Now, you don't have to do that. In other words, that's not a necessary part of the avodah. But the point over here is, blood obviously is liquid, so it could run down his finger. He wanted to make sure that the maximum amount of blood was by the corner of his finger. And what would he do? Mechate v'yoreid kineged chuda shel keren. And he would go ahead and apply it. In other words, he would stop. He would start at the top of the corner of the horn and extend his finger downward. Mechate v'yoreid kineged chuda shel keren. Until he would finish, until there was no more blood left on his finger. And this is what he would do with every single corner. Shabbos says, so ultimately, again, it sounds like pretty explicitly here that how is the blood being applied? How is it being applied? On the corner, on the horn itself, and on the corner of the horn. Sounds pretty explicit. Which the Gemara says, you're right. Talking kamar. Mitzvah bichuda. So I'll say the Gemara's conclusion is, you're right. Ideally, where should the blood be placed? The blood should be placed on the horn and the corner of the horn. In other words, we'll say the ideal form of the avoda is you take your finger, you start at the top of the corner of the horn and smear downwards. That is the ideal. However, b'diavad, the Gemara says, i'avad ama elech va'ama elech leslan ba. But as long as you are within an amma of the corner, which is a pretty, it's a lot of flexibility, amma in either direction of the corner, you're good to go. You're good to go. And I will say, that is indeed, by the way, how the Rambam himself paskins. I'll just quote to you. The Rambam says, Yeah, he says over here. Yeah, one second, it was Halacha Zayin. So Rambam says, V'somech be'etzva ha'gdolo mikan v'gol mikan u'michatev yori k'neged chudosh al keren ad sh'yichla kol adam she'be'etzva v'chinu oz v'chol keren v'imnasan samuch l'keren ka'ama achas mikan u'mikan v'kiper. This is how the Rambam paskins Halacha l'maisa, ideally, the blood application again, start, right, push the blood to the edge of your finger, start at the top of the corner of the horn, make your way down, but as long as you got it within an ama of the corner itself, you're good to go. Incredible. Okay, so we'll say, that is our first tremendous nugget of Halacha l'maisa. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, my Rebbe Umay Rebbe Elazar Rishimin. We'll say now, we've been quoting Rebbe and Elazar Rishimin. What are exactly their respective opinions? This sign here, here we go. Tamim Ha'al Yonim. So we'll say, Nitan Michota Sikra Ulamayla. So remember, we'll say, now we're transitioning back. So remember again, what was unique about Chatos, a communal Chatos and an individual Chatos, is that these blood applications are being done on the horns of the Mizbeach. Up until this point in time, we didn't see any blood applications on the horns. All blood applications were being done where? On the side of the Mizbeach. And ultimately, again, there was a Chut HaSikra. I think there was a picture of that. Yes, I will say, by the way, in the image that I sent you, the first set of images, you could literally see, again, that red line on the side of the Mizbeach. You could see that it's there. You can see that it's there. So I'll say, so again, so up until now, up until today, we've always been talking about the idea of blood applications on the side of the Mizbeach, above the red line, below the red line. So the Gemara says, Disanya. So what's Rabbi Nasr Balaz that we were referencing before? Here we go. Disanya. Damim ha'al yonim. One blood has to be applied on the top of the Mizbeach. Nitnin michot ha'sikru l'malo. They're put above the red line. The Gemara says, Damim ha'tachtonim. And when it's lower blood, nitnin michot ha'sikru ulamathon divrei Rabbi. Ultimately, again, they are applied below the red line. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Medram. When is this? So, ba'ola sa'of. Only when it comes to a bird offering. Ava bechatos behema he atzma einazis ella begufa shel keren. When it comes ultimately again to a chatos, so it comes along Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Shimon says the only time that we're focusing on above the red line and below the red line is by a bird offering. In general, again, by any animal offering, but let's say chatos behema, ultimately again the blood applications are done on the corners. I'm Rabbi Abo, my time the Rabbi. What's Rabbi's logic? Tichsiv v'ha'har el arba amos. We'll say the Gemara is already quoting the pasuk from Yecheskel. Now, interestingly enough, the Har El, the Har El, is a reference to the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Ulamala arba amos hidavi. Understand the Mizbeach was 4 amos. The Mizbeach was much more than 4 amos. Right? Even the corners were much more than 4 amos. Amrav adabar ava makom kronos arba. The area of the Kronos ultimately again was 4 amos. The Gemara says Kronos Dalit have you? El Ema Roshus Kronos Dalit. So the Gemara says no. The Kronos themselves, even in a way, say the right dimensions are not 4 amos. What does it mean? The area of the Kronos ultimately is 4 amos. So Shabbos say, if you think about it, means that, remember, as we just said before, Halach Lamaisa, where are you supposed to apply the blood on the corners? Where? On the horns, on the corners. But what can you do? You can get an amma on each side. There's 4 sides. That's why it calls ultimately, again, calls it 4 ammas, because you could go up to an amma away from each of the corners and still be yotze with the blood application. Incredible. Good. Tanan asam. Chut shel sikra. Chogu be'em. So lahabdil bin damal yoram damal tahtonas. We'll say, so remember again, let's go back to that red line. Even though, again, it's not the sugya, where is the red line applicable? Whereas, at least for now, everyone agrees that it's applicable where? By chatas ha'of. By bird offering. So we'll say, so first of all, the Gemara says, where does this red line come from? Kuchel sikra, chogro be'em, salahavdubin damel yoram, damel tachtonim, minahani mili. They both say, it's important to understand, the Torah makes absolutely no reference to any red line. No reference, right? You cannot find a pasuk that says anything about a red line. So the Gemara says, obviously, we've been talking about it, so obviously it's part of the Mizbeach. Where did this come from? This is very interesting. Amar of Acha bar Rav Katina, Shinei mar b'haisa ha-reshes ad chatsia Mizbeach. Shabbos said, this is very interesting. By the Mishkan, when the Torah speaks about the construction of the altar, we'll call it the large animal sacrifice altar. In the courtyard of the Mishkan, so the Mishkan talks about creating a reshes. Reshes literally means like a netting. There was like a copper netting. Like you would think when reading the pasuk that it's almost like a decorative type of border that went around the middle of the Mizbeach. Shabbos says, interesting enough, now by the way, I want to point out, if you notice, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Reshas, right? In the Beis HaMikdash, if you look at the images of the Mizbeach that I sent you, you do not have any type of metal border around the Mizbeach. Shabbos says, but what do we do with this border? HaTorah nitna mechitza lahavdil bein damim elyonim ledam hatachtonim. Shabbos says, interestingly enough, even though that Reshas is not replicated in the Beis HaMikdash, we understand why did the Torah mention the Reshes? Why? To create a line of demarcation on the Mizbeach. So although in the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately again there was no Reshes, but clearly again we understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do is create a line between the upper Mizbeach and the lower Mizbeach. So in the Beis HaMikdash, that line becomes known as the Chut HaSikra, the red line, which Shavuot says is actually, you can see the image, it's actually on the Mizbeach itself. Incredible. All right, so let's go back there. Share items. So therefore, I will say, again, we're racking up our information as we go along over here. The next piece, remember again, when the Kohen came down, so remember again, so far we've established, he went up the ramp, went right on the auxiliary ramp, took that to the Yisod, the narrow ledge around, did the blood applications counterclockwise. He would then come down. When he would come down, the Mishnah says, he pours out the Shirayim where? By the southern base of the Mizbeach, which is this little zak over here, right? Southern base of the Mizbeach. So I just want to point out also, it's interesting. You can't, I don't know if you can see anything on this image. It's important to say the base actually wrapped around a little bit. It did actually go around. You can see that in the image that I sent you. Here, you can see it on the second image that I sent. From yesterday, the art scroll image, you could see that the base wraps a little bit around the southern side. Right? So that's where he would pour out. That's where he poured out, ultimately, again, the Shirayim. And Abbas, even a little bit more on the first image, you could see, by the way, interestingly enough, you could see on the first set of images, the second set, on the first set of images, you could see that there's a little bit of a basin over here on the bottom as well, where it says the number 10 over there. All right. Anyways, let's go back there. Says the Gemara. So what would happen? Shari Hadam, he would pour out the remnant blood, ultimately again on the southern base. So again, just want to point out what we're getting set up for over here. When we were talking about the Chatas HaPanimi, the inner Chatas, right, which again, Sir of Yom Kippur, Par of Yom Kippur, Par Helam Davar Min HaTzibur, Sir Avod Zara. When, remember, he came out with the remnant blood, where was that poured? Where was that poured? Where? Western base. Now we're saying outer Chatas is poured on the southern base. So says the Gemara, so the very interesting. Tana Rabbanan, Al Yisod Mizbach, Ze Yisod Deromi. So what's when the Torah says that you pour out the remnant blood of the Chatos onto the base of the Mizbeach, what is that referring to? The southern base. Mar says, hold up. At Omer Ze Yisod Deromi or Eina El Yisod Ma'aravi. Why? Why not say that the outer Chatos is also poured on the southern base? Right? Sorry, on the western base, right? On this base. And Rabosai, why would I say that? Listen to this. So Rabosai, watch how exciting this is. So remember, it is important to understand, all the Torah tells me by the outer Chatos is that you pour the Shirayim, you pour the leftover blood on the base of the Mizbeach. What doesn't it tell me? It doesn't tell me where. Now, that is as opposed to the inner Chatos, Chatos Pnimi, the Torah does tell me which base. Now, again, it's not explicit. Remember, what does the Torah tell me? Right? The Torah tells me, poured out on the base, El Asher El Pesach Oel Moed. Poured out on the base that you are going to encounter when you exit the base of Mikdash. So I'm going to exit the base of Mikdash. I'm going to encounter the western base first. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second. If the Torah doesn't say anything by Chatas Achitzon, does say something by Chatas Pnimi, maybe I should learn out literally again the hidden from the revealed, which means why not just say that all Chatas blood, inside and outside, is poured out on the western base? Because that's the one thing I know. The Torah doesn't tell me anything other than that. To which the Gemara says, V'ilam etzas min afurush. Amrit, the Gemara says, no. Yilmad yiridasa min akevesh tetziyasa min ahechal. No, because we'll say we have to equate the exit of the off the ramp by the Chatas Achitzon to the exit from the Heicha by the Chatas Pnimi. How so? My Yitzias of the Heicha b'samach lo, af Yiridas of the Akevesh b'samach lo. Because we see a paradigm. What's the paradigm? Where do you pour out the remnant blood? on the part of the base that you encounter first when the avoda is over. So when it's a chatas pnimi, an inner chatas, again, you come out of the base of Mikdash, the first base you're going to encounter is the western one. And when you're doing a chatas achitzon, an outer chatas, when you come off the ramp, the first base you're going to encounter is the southern one. That makes the most sense. And that's how the Gemara seems to conclude over here. Now we're not finished yet. Gemara says, Tanya, let's analyze this a little bit more. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ze v'ze yisod ma'aravi. Ooh. Rabbi Shmuel says that both Chatas Pnimi and Chatas Chitzon are both poured out by the southern base. Which is pretty incredible. Sorry, western base, excuse me. Western base. Rabbi Shmuel Yochai Omer, Ze v'ze yisod dromi. So Rashbi says, no, both are by the southern base. So we'll say, I just want to point out over here, the common denominator amongst these two opinions is uniformity of pouring out of Shirayim, right? So in other words, they're disagreeing on the uniformity, but they're both agreeing ultimately, again, that there's one base for all Chatas offerings. So again, Rabbi Shmuel, western base, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai, southern base. So Bishlam Amanda Amar Yisol Ma'aravi, so according to the opinion that says that we pour everything out by the western base, that actually makes a lot of sense. Why? Kasavar yilmat sasam in amafurash. He says, learn out, literally again, the hidden from the revealed. In other words, the Torah tells me that by chatas pnimi, everything is poured out by the western base. The Torah doesn't say anything by chatas chitzon. So therefore, again, just say everything follows chatas pnimi, therefore poured out by the western base. What would be the logic of saying that everything is poured out by the southern base? What's the logic of that? Amrabasi Kasavar, listen to this, this is actually pretty amazing. Kasavar, Haitana, Kule Mizbeach Bitsafon Kai. Okay, so we'll say, now watch this. Lishnachrina Kule Pesach Bidaram Kai. So we'll say, now, which is saying the same thing. Now we'll say, I want to point out something amazing. In this image, if you notice over here, this is so exciting. This is so exciting. So understand, in this image, which is what we've been operating with until this point in time, the Mizbeach is situated like this, that when you walk out of the Beis HaMikdash, you are hitting the western side of the Mizbeach. There is a fundamental machlokes as to how the Beis HaMikdash, excuse me, as to how the Mizbeach, thank you, the Mizbeach was actually situated. So as we're going to see over here, there is an opinion that says that the entire Mizbeach was situated in the north, which means, if you can imagine on this image over here, that this Mizbeach was actually much further down. Because remember again, this is north. North is down over here in this image. The Mizbeach was actually much further down. Now again, when we say Mizbeach was the north, what it means is like this. This area, what we'll call the square of the Mizbeach, was situated in the north, or better stated, was not situated at all opposite the entrance of the Heichal, which would then mean that when you would come out of the Heichal, the first area that actually you would hit, that you would see, would be this southern area. Oh, so I will say, so remember again, let's take a step back for just a second. The one piece we know about the pouring out of Shirayim when it comes to Chatas, one piece of information we have is the Torah tells us, pour out the Shirayim where? By the part of the Yisod that is Pesach Oel Moed. So the part of the Mizbeach, the part of the Yisod that is Pesach Oel Moed, is fundamentally dependent on the positioning of the Mizbeach. So if the positioning of the Mizbeach is as it's in this image, then okay, then the western side is Pesach Oel Moed. But if you imagine the entire Mizbeach moved here, so that, let's say imagine for a moment, the ramp starts over here. That means when you leave the Beis HaMikdash, the first area of the Yisod that you are encountering is actually the southern area. That's the Machlokes. So again, the common denominator over here is both of these opinions are presupposing that there is one area of Shirayim disposal, remnant blood disposal, for all Chatas, inner Chatas, outer Chatas. So in that already stands in contradiction to the previous Gemara. And the Machlokes is the positioning of the Mizbeach. If you hold the Mizbeach is over here, then all blood is poured out on the western side. But if you hold that the Mizbeach that was fundamentally down northward, then Allah Almighty, the first area you would encounter is the southern base, and that's where it would be poured out. Incredible. I will say, take a look at all the base. So Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai. Omrim Zev is Zayisod Ma'arabi. They say that both all of the blood, Chatas Pnimi, Chatas Chitzon, ultimately, again, is poured out by the southern entrance, the Simonich. And the way to remember this is Machshu Gavri Legavra. Pull one person to the other person. Just put everything ultimately again by the southern entrance. Rashi says Machshu Gavri Legavra. Tamid Rabbi Shmuel Shem Rubin Machshu Rabbi Shimon Lomar Kedivrei Rabbanan. So apparently, again, Rabbi Shmuel had a larger following. Rabbi Shmuel pulled Rabbi Shimon ultimately again to his side. Rabbi say, how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskin is just as it's said in the Mishnah. There are actually two different halachas. For chatos pinimi, for inner chatos, the remnant blood, the shirayim, is poured out on the western side. And for chatos chitzon, for an outer chatos, the remnant blood is poured out on the southern side, over here. Just as it's, and I will say, that is what's stated in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah itself says, Shiyari Hadam, Hayeshofech, Hayesod Dromis. That's how we pass him. Then Allah says, Rabbi says, so again, our inner chatos, blood poured out ultimately again on the southern side, on the western side, and outer chatos, blood poured out on the southern side. Incredible. We'll say, so much good, Allah Lamaisa. Next, Mishnah, Ha'ola, Kodesh Kadoshim. So Rabbi says, Ola, and Ola is Kodesh Kadoshim. Kodesh Kadosh, and Rabbi Yosef Rashi points out over here, what does it mean when we say that our Ola is Kodesh Kadosh? And what does that mean? Rashi says, Lipasa biyotse b'tvil yom b'chusra kippur. And Rabbi Yosef, remember again, in general, the higher sanctity something has, the more receptive it is to tumah disqualification. So let's say, for example, Chachim Kalim, which is lower forms of Karban, are going to be subject to certain things, but Kodesh Kadoshim, Rashi points out, if you're Kodesh Kadoshim, ultimately, again, number one, your pasul yotzei, if you're taking out of your prescribed areas, tvul yom, if a tvul yom touches it, or if a tvul yom eats it, it's obviously prohibited, or mechusar kippurim, and someone missing their kabbanas like a mitzora, or someone like that, or mo'en, subject to me'ila. Good. We don't have to worry about this right now. But again, back to the Mishnah. Ha'ola, an ola is kodesh kadoshim, highest order of kabbanas. Shabbos, what's the halacha by an ola? And remember, Rabbi said, an ola is totally burnt on the mizbeach, right? So no part of it is consumed. So what's the halacha? Shchitas b'tzafon, the kimol dama, the kibol dama, klisharis b'tzafon. So first of all, shchitas in the north. You know, also we're seeing a common denominator over here. Almost all shchitas occurring in the north. Shchitas in the north. Kabbalah, reception of the blood, is in the north as well. The kimol dama, klisharis b'tzafon. The dama, here we go. Taun shtei matanos shehein arba. So we'll say again, this really is reminiscent of the beginning of the Masechta. So interestingly enough, as opposed to chatos, which has blood applications ultimately on all four corners, as we're going to see, Ola only has blood application on two corners. But when you did the application on those two corners, is what we call shtayim shehein arba, which is what means what? You sprinkle it on the corner with the understanding of what's going to happen. It actually goes on two sides. So again, I want to point out, already begin to see the distinctions over chatas. Remember again, Abosai, how is the chatas blood applied? Right? It's shmeared. Right? There's no sprinkling. Right? The coin takes on his end of his finger, and again, ideally, top of the corner of the horn and goes down. Here, if you notice by Ola, it's a sprinkling. Right? And again, it's sprinkled towards the corner. So two acts of sprinkling, which turn out to four blood applications, because when you sprinkle it towards the corner, it goes on two sides. Fine. Now, which two corners we're going to have to see? Actually, Rashi already says it. Rashi, the Shtei Matanos, Bekaren Mizrachis Tzifonis. So the first thing we're going to do is in the northeast corner. So remember, Rabbi Yosef said, where is the northeast corner? That is over here. So north, we're going to see it's northeast corner. And so Mizrachis Tzifonis and Ma'aravis Duromis, southwest corner. So it's actually two diagonal corners. So again, we're going to see exactly how this is done. It's the same thing is coming up. Remember, we'll talk about all this, but again, corner one, northeast, corner two, southeast. These are the two corners in which, northeast, southwest. Two opposite corners. Good. Rashi points out over here, he said, Vachi tam sekas tamid, bado the karen mizrachis tzifonis. No saying Mizrachis Tzifonis, Ma'aravis Duromis. Good. So we don't have to read the rest of it. So back to the Mishnah. So the kibbutz dama klisharis tzafon. The damun taun shtei matanos shein arba. So two blood applications, which are really become four. Utuune heshit v'nituach v'kalil kash li'ishin. And I will say, furthermore, the carbon requires heshit. Heshit means it's flayed, it's skin. Because as we're going to see, as much as no one eats the meat of the Ola, Kohanim get the hide. they get the hide. No meat, but they get the hide. So therefore, again, the animal is flayed, its skin, v'nituach, and ultimately is cut up into parts, v'kalil li'ishim, which means it's fully burnt on the mizbeach. Incredible. Says the Gemara, first the Gemara just asks a simple question. The Gemara says, Ola, my time of tanalei kachshei kadoshim. Why does the Mishnah have to say that Ola is kodesh kadoshim? We know that Ola is kachshei kadoshim. Why, in other words, why the need to actually say this? It's very interesting. Gemara says, "Delok sivba kodesh kadoshim hi." Because we'll say, interestingly enough, by other karbanos, Rashi points out over here. Let's say by chatas and asham, the Torah says that it's kodesh kadoshim. The Torah makes no such reference when it comes to ola. So therefore, again, you might have thought that because there is no biblically explicit statement that it's kodesh kadoshim, you might have thought that halacha l'maisa, it's not kodesh kadoshim. Kamash mula, no, the Mishnah wants to just kind of make sure categorically you know where ola lives. Ola is part of kodesh kadoshim. Beautiful. The damon shtei matanos. Remember, again, we said that the blood applications of the ola are two that are four. The two corners, again, northeast corner, southwest corner. So the Gemara says, hechi avit. Ultimately, again, say, how exactly are these blood applications done? Amar Rav says, no same, v'chozer v'nosim. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's in the second of the intermediate wide lines. Nosin v'chozer v'nosin. Zorik menakli, uvait l'mizbeach, beruach zu shal karen, v'chem beruach ha'shnia shal karen, v'chem v'karen shekinek de ba'alachson, nimsa min adam l'dal rucho shal mizbeach, matron l'cho ruach. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rav says over here that literally, again, there's a blood application, nosin v'chozer v'nosin. Ultimately, again, that literally you're doing it on every corner. Right, you do, and you keep doing by every corner. Rashi says one more. Look at Rashi. Zorik min hakli, you sprinkle it from the kli. V'la mizbeach beruach zu shal karen, v'chein beruach ashnia shal karen, v'chein lekaren shenegda. So again, according to Rav, what you're doing is like this. So both say. So remember again, you're only going to two corners, right? Northeast, southwest. But you go to two corners of each corner. In other words, you do an explicit blood application on each of the two sides. So I go. So just to illustrate this. I come ultimately again to the northeast corner and I do one blood application over here, one blood application over here. So you're literally doing two applications on each corner. That's Rav. Shmuel says, no. Matana achas kimin gema nosi. No. You do one blood application towards the corner, and ultimately again that one application becomes like the Roman letter gamma. Rashi points out what it's a gamma, looks like a chaf, which essentially means this is what we thought in the Mishnah. You sprinkle it towards the corner, and then by definition I don't want to use the word splatter, because splatter is not a nice word, but it extends over two sides. That's right. So again, just to understand the machlokes of, according to Rav, there's two intentional placements on each horn, on each corner, right? One on each side of the horn. According to Shmuel, there's one act of sprinkling, and that one act of sprinkling splashes on two sides. Okay, that's the machlokes. So the Gemara says, Ki tanoi, it's machlokes tanoi. The Gemara says, so yochol, yizriken zrika achos, you might have thought that there's only one zrika, right? One act of application, like what Shmuel is saying, and that one act of application goes on two sides. Talmud lomar saviv, therefore the pasuk says it has to go around. Is saviv, yochol yakifenu kichot. If it said saviv, you might have thought that maybe you have to apply it around the corner like a string, like mamish, like maybe one big application along the whole way. Talmud lomar v'zarko, therefore the pasuk says, no, you should sprinkle it. So Hakei said, how do you reconcile this? Hakei said, kimin gema shtei matanos shehein arba. You go out and you sprinkle it like the letter gamma, like a chaf, which means, like we said before in the Mishnah, you do one act of sprinkling towards the corner of the horn, which ultimately, again, extends on two sides. Incredible. Rabbi Shmuel says, ne'amar kan saviv, ve'ne'amar lahalon saviv. So this is very interesting. So Rabbi Shmuel says like this. It says over here. Over here is by Ola, because that's our topic. And it says Lahalon. Rashi says over here. Now, interestingly enough, this is by the Chatos Hamiluin. So remember again, this is by the dedication and consecration of the Beis HaMikdash. There are all of these additional karbanos that were brought. So it says Saviv by an Ola, and it says Saviv ultimately again by the Miluin. Ma Lahalon Pisuk V'Arba Matanos. Afkan pisuk va'arba matanos. So mostly, if you look at Rashi says over here, ma lahalon pisuk dalet matanos, Dalid Nifsakos Zumizu. The Rebbe said, actually, you know, we're going to stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Hashem with this piece tomorrow. The Rebbe said, tremendous. No, is this not absolutely, absolutely? I see, it looks like a lot of people were intimidated by these sugyas. All right, they'll tell the Chabra, there's nothing to be intimidated about. We got this incredible, incredible Gemara, Rebbe said. And think about this morning when you say Ezu Mekoman, as now we go through these Mishnayos, again, we're up to Mishnah only Mishnah number 3 in Ezu Mekoman, but how much more incredible, beautiful, and halachic, holy relevance does it has for us. Journey continues tomorrow. Shkeich, everyone. Everyone, have a great day.